meetings and the photocopies are at the back. If you don't have a copy, you should take one. Because of the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, through confession and faith, we know that all the powers of heaven are subject unto us.
Hallelujah.
We pray tonight, dear God, that your great Holy Spirit, we come to speak to our hearts. Continue, Lord, to bring us to the awareness, the understanding of what you are doing this hour, that we can come into harmony with you, Lord, that we can line up with your word in this hour. We can see all you have spoken concerning your bride be made manifest in our very own lives.
Amen.
Father, we believe that this is the hour when you are bringing to pass all you spoke to your prophets.
Lord,
I pray tonight you grant me grace, the unction of power by the Holy Spirit to bring forth these things you have laid upon my heart,
yes,
people. May cause them to become drawn to a closer walk with you,
yes, Lord.
May cause them to rise to a higher level of faith.
Yes, Lord.
May cause them, oh God, to recognize their position in your word.
Yes,
oh God, may you, Lord, so move amongst us tonight. Lord God, we see no man save Jesus only.
Yes.
Let your presence come close, Lord. Deal with us in an individual way,
yes,
tonight.
Lord.
Speak personally to us, Lord. Lord, let your will be made so clear to each and every one of us. That we will surely know it is you amongst us.
Amen.
Grant it, Father. We ask your blessing upon your word and upon your people now. And we commit this entire service in your hands. In Jesus' precious name we pray.
Amen.
We'd like to invite your attention tonight to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Genesis 2, the beginning from verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Six times God said, it is good, it is good, it is good. Where he created in Genesis 1. But here in Genesis 2, he said, it is not good. The man should be alone, I will make him and help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. I would like to get on to Revelation chapter 3. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. And one more scripture before you have your seat, 1 Thessalonians 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The Lord has blessed you and good now to see. Comfort one another with these words. What a time that we are living in. We have need of comfort. Amen. We live in perilous times. The world is falling apart. And everything seems so unstable. But we have the word of God as our hope and stay. The Bible says, comfort one another with these words. I'd like to welcome everyone in the house of God again in the service. And we certainly anticipating another wonderful time in his presence. I trust you've been enjoying the meeting so far. And it's been causing you to think a little deeper, realize the seriousness of the hour in which we are living in. That is not just claiming to believe the message, but Abraham said, if we claim the message, that's the only proof we could read. And the message of token is the hour when the token must be on display. Amen. The only thing will stay the wrath of God is the literal life of Jesus Christ manifested in the believer. And it must be manifested publicly, because when that token was being applied, it couldn't be, you know, somewhere behind the door or somewhere back in the kitchen somewhere. It had to be over the lintel post where everyone passing could see it. It had to be displayed publicly. There was a time it had to be applied. There was an applying time when you said take the blood and apply it. But then there was a displaying time. You couldn't apply it no more. At midnight when the Lord was coming through, when judgment was moving through the land, when the death angel was passing, then you had to have it on display. Amen. And it was a great time, because you know how they had to kill that lamb at evening time, but at midnight the judgment was going to come. So from evening time to midnight was a time of desperation. It was a time when every man had one thing on his mind, to obey what the prophet said. Amen. To carry out the word of the prophet. Because the prophet Moses had come to call the Exodus, and he had done great signs and wonders. It brought up all the impersonators, Jannes and Jambres, who tried to impersonate what the true prophet did. Amen. But finally, judgment was going to move through the land, because mercy had been spurned.
Amen. And when judgment is moving to the land, then they had to have that token on display. So it's a tremendous time that we are living in. And that's why in these messages here, we want to just focus right in on what have been brought to us in this last day by a vindicated prophet. Amen. And to obey every word, all that the prophet has spoken. You know, Jesus one time, speaking to people who had claimed to believe the message, they were following him. He was the word that came to the prophet John. Is that right? John was Elijah. And John revealed the word, which is Jesus. And Jesus was the Son of Man. And John was Elijah. And Elijah revealed the Son of Man at the end of the Old Testament. And as John forerun the first coming, so shall this one, Malachi 4, forerun the second coming. The spirit of Elijah is going to come to introduce the Son of Man again. Because the church was built upon the revelation of who the Son of Man is. Amen. That was the foundation that was laid in the Alpha Bride. He's Alpha and Omega. So if the foundation was Alpha, amen, in the Alpha Bride, and the foundation was the revelation of the Son of Man, then when it come back as the headstone at the end of the church, it will be the same revelation coming back. Amen. Because Elijah comes to do what? Restore. Amen. Amen. So if he comes to restore, you have to bring back the original revelation. Amen. And the original revelation was the revelation of the Son of Man. Whom do men say, I, the Son of Man, am? Upon this rock I will build my church. Is that right? That is simple. That is not complicated. That is not confusing to the mind. Amen. That is very plain to every believer who believes the Bible and believes the message. Amen. And notice something that when John introduced Jesus, you know, to all Israel, the word, the fullness of the word, had no greater word than Jesus. He was all the Bible. He was all the word made flesh. He took the law and the Psalms and the prophets and all things concerning himself and proved he was the principal theme of the entire Bible. Is that right? And Brother Abraham came and said, when you read the Bible and you don't see Jesus in a certain verse, go back and read it. You make a mistake somewhere. You miss him somewhere. Because he's revealing every verse in the entire Bible. And if the seven seals have been opened, then when we're looking, we must see Christ. It's the rising of the sun, page 45. He says, Christ is the seals that was opened. And what was the opening of the seals? Revealing Christ. Then he preached that great message, Christ is revealed in his own word. Is that right? And the word is from Genesis to Revelation. That is his own word. And his own word was sealed with seven seals. And he is the revelation of the word. He is revealing his own word. Hiding from the wisest theologian. Is that right? You see them theologians with the Bible and can't see Jesus in it. Because he's hiding from the wisest theologians. But he is revealing the shepherds. Why it had to be shepherds. Humble herdsmen, unqualified speakers, amen. Hasten with the greatest message. What was the message? Messiah is on the earth now. Amen. Amen. It bypassed the whole world and revealed the humble herdsmen that the Messiah is here on the earth. Amen. What a great and tremendous thing when we think of these things and how God can take a prophet in this day and inspire him and use him in such a way to speak these things, to confuse some and blind some. But open the eyes of others. You see, light always does that. It blinds some, but open the eyes of others. May God help us and give us an attitude in our heart to search the Bible, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of him. Is that what he says? And then the bride is part of the bridegroom. So if the bridegroom is the word and the bride is part of the bridegroom, she's going to be part of the word. And if Jesus knew what part of the word he was, then the bride will have to know what part of the word she is. And if when he recognized his position in the word, it gave him perfect faith, then when she recognized her position in the word, it will give her perfect faith also. And the reason there's a lot of confusion is because of a lack of revelation of what we are in the word. We try to know everything about everybody else, and we know nothing about our own selves. But faith is recognizing your position, not somebody else's position. Is that right? That's why we've been trying to show you that Malachi 4:5, behold, I send you Elijah, and he is a personal pronoun, singular masculine. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is personal pronoun, singular masculine, that's one man. It was a one-man move, like Elias, like John, like Elijah, like Moses, a one-man move. Amen. At the end of the Pentecostal age, God was going to stop dealing with groups of people and send one man. Amen. And one man was going to have the truth in this day to call a people out. Amen. And Brother Abraham saw himself in the scriptures and identified himself in the scriptures. And says on the message, what is the attraction in the mountain? He says, what is the attraction? prophecy is becoming history.
Amen.
Because Malachi 4:5 was a prophecy.
Amen.
Revelation 10:7 was a prophecy.
Amen.
St. Luke 17:30 was a prophecy.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
And then it was made history in his own life.
Amen.
And he says, this day is these scriptures fulfilled.
Amen.
Then if prophecy becomes history, it's fulfilled.
Amen.
Amen. If it becomes history, it's a historical thing. Amen. Malachi 4:5 is not going to come back and do nothing no more. He has gone to his eternal reward. Just like Paul, just like Irenaeus, just like Martin, just like Columba, just like Luther and Wesley. Amen. They have all gone to the eternal reward when their ministry was finished. And the same way, the seventh angel messenger who brought this last day message has delivered the message and has gone to his reward. But the bride has to make herself ready with the word. It's a great time. And, you know, tonight we want to look at something here. I want to take a title and call it The Identified Christ of All Ages, Now Identified in the Bride Age. He's been identified in every age to be the same. He's identified in Moses' day. He was in Moses. It was God in Moses. He was in Abraham's time. It was Jesus who came to Abraham. He said, Abraham, rejoice to see my day. Is that right? When Paul wrote, Paul said, Moses bore the reproach of Christ and esteemed it greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And the prophet said, where did Moses see Christ? He said, Christ is the pillar of fire that Moses met. Because when Paul saw the same pillar of fire that Moses met, he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So he was the same Jesus in every age. When he came in flesh, he just changed his mask from spirit to man in order to die. Because he couldn't die as the pillar of fire. So he became flesh in order to die to do the work of redemption. And that was Jesus right there too. And he took the Bible and identified himself. Is that right? And then when he came back in this day to reveal the Son of Man, God in human flesh. Not God in Jesus' flesh. Because Jesus says, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the day when the Son of Man shall be revealed. In the days of Sodom, it wasn't God in Jesus. Jesus wasn't born yet. God hadn't overshadowed Mary and created that body yet. It was God in a man. Is that right? God in a man like a prophet could turn his back to the tent and discern the secrets of their heart. Amen. So when we come back to this day, it will be God in a man again. And we saw when God came in a man, human flesh, to reveal himself. What he did, he took the scriptures and began to reveal himself. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. It's always Jesus. He's the principal theme of the entire Bible. He's the Lord who was, Lord who is, Lord who is to come.
Amen.
Eagle, lamb, and lion, prophet, priest, and king, son of man, son of God, son of David.
Amen.
That is his revelation. He says in the book of Revelation, he reveals himself in a threefold manner. Amen. The Lord who is, the Lord who was, and the Lord who is to come. There's no further revelation than that. He said, because you can't add to the word or you cannot take away from the word. To add one word to that book of Revelation, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ and his future works, your name shall be taken out. Amen. My. So then when we think of it then, this great thing in the Bible here, then we want to see in our time, if we have to look back 23 years ago up to 1965, we are serving God in a rearview mirror. He is not, guys, I was. Not I am. I am is 1989 here tonight. I am tonight what I was in the prophet 25 years ago. Amen. You see, and we can't make him I was and I will be. He said many times they praise God for what he did. Oh, thank God he's not a prophet. Oh, thank God he brought me to the denomination. Oh, thank God, you know, Brother Ram, you know, did great miracles and signs and wonders. And oh, thank God for those things. He healed the sick and raised the dead. Oh, thank God we're going to millennium. Oh, thank God for the new city. See? Praising God for what was and praising God for what will be, but missing what God is doing right now.
Amen.
Amen. And this is what we're trying to focus in upon. What is he doing now? And last time we saw how he came there to say, require a burnt sacrifice. Amen. The head must be laid on the altar. Amen. Be totally reduced to ashes before there could be a real ministry come forth. Amen. And then we find out this morning that he came and required a meal offering. Amen. Total surrender, consecration to God. Total surrender to God and a sacrificial life to man. Is that right? Amen. Then we're going to see a ministry of the temple, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, the power that could create meal and the barrel and these things. So we know what to look for. We see it in the word. Coming in continuity to the prophet's message. We saw Elijah required out of the woman. Is that right? And the prophet says when Elijah comes in the last days, Israel history will be repeating itself again. And we saw exactly in the Bible how Jezebel was in the White House and the prophet came. And he preached Jezebel religion. He went back to the book of Kings. Because he knew the Catholic Church was Jezebel. He knew he was Elijah. He knew Ahab was America. Is that right? Sure. Amen. And then he knew that there were 7,000 laying somewhere in type. And not 7,000 people, but in type. A little group that will not bow the knees to Jezebel religion. But who would take every word spoken by that prophet. Amen. And then tonight we want to look in a little deeper again and see more of the ministry of the bride unfold to us. Yeah. See more of what is happening from 1966 to 1989. Because we have to know what God did from 1966 to 1989. It's written in the spoken word books. It's laying there as prophecy. Yeah. Because part of the prophet message became history and part remained as prophecy. Yeah. He said we shall all be changed at the last trump. That hasn't taken place yet. The squeeze is going to come and they'll close down these churches. That hasn't taken place yet. Amen. The bride will preach to the lost after the doors are closed. That hasn't taken place yet. So part of the message is prophecy. The bride will write another book of Acts. All those things laid in the message. But God had to get a church in speaking conditions. God had to get a bride that could find preeminences in. Because in this message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, we found out that what God wants is preeminences. He shed his blood to redeem a people. Now he wants to come and live in that people. He wants to dwell in them and walk in them. You want to be walking in your feet, seeing through your eyes, speaking with your lips, amen, thinking with your mind, until every fiber of your being is filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Until it will be God in his people. On the message, let us see God. He says, look, we can see God in nature. Look, God in the sun. The sun is the light of the world. Son of man, son of God, son of David. Look, God, in the morning star, shalom, the dawning of a new day. Look, God, in the moon, a type of the bride, reflecting, amen, the light of the in the absence of the sun. Look, God, in the lion of Judah. Look, God, in the dove, the Holy Spirit. God in nature. Then you let us see God in his son. Amen. And here's one say, little fishy, Jesus Christ, give you a life. Amen. Sister Hattie, I receive the two boys in the name of Jesus Christ. What is God in his son? Amen. Margaret says, Tom, go back where you come from and let the sun shine for 4 days. God in his son. Then let us see God in his word. Amen. Christ, the mystery of God revealed, the token, he that is in you, the masterpiece, the unveiling of the mighty God. Let us see God. We saw God in his word. But there was one more. Let us see God in his people. Amen. There will be another book of Acts. There will be a super church in the last days. Hallelujah. Let us see God in his people. There must be a people. Amen. That's the last manifestation. God in his people. The Redeemer in the redeemed. Hallelujah. He has opened the book of redemption. He is revealing the Redeemer right now. Those names that was in the Lamb's book of life. And he's going to come and slip behind the skin. Amen. To manifest himself and show forth his victory. Amen. Show for the people that are going back to the Garden of Eden. Oh my, that's not plain church. That's not church politics. I belong to this group and I belong to that group and this interpretation. That is not that. That is sons and daughters of God knowing the place in this hour. Amen. That is son. You shall know as you were known. Amen. When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. And you shall know as you were known. How he foreknew, you are going to know that way. Is that right? Those who before knew did predestinate, those who predestinated the call. And we are the call according to his purpose. It's going to be revealed to our people. Because Jesus said, in that day you shall know, as I was in the Father, and the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. You will know it. Why you will know it? Because I'll open the seven seals. I'll show you where you was. Even before you come into flesh. Hallelujah! I'll show you who you are. I'll show you always was in me. When I die, you die. When I walk, you walk. When I was buried, you was buried. When I rose, you rose. Amen. I'll show you was in me before the foundation of the world. Amen. I'm going to reveal to you Like he said to himself, I was glad when I found that I wasn't Charles and Ella Branham's son. Charles had a sperm and Ella had an egg, but God had a gene. Amen. Hallelujah. And you are that gene of God, the real you. Amen. Hallelujah. That was in the lines of God. Amen. And God's attribute was expressed in flesh, manifested in the earth, in the time that God wanted you here. Amen. So the great thing in this hour, as the Holy Spirit is quickening to the bride around the world, taking the scales off of our eyes, letting her look into the Bible, look into the plan of redemption, look into the revealed word, and see the hour that she's living in. Understand the great mystery that God is working to bring to pass in her very own life. Oh, my, I tell you, she knows she's been redeemed now. It's happening in the present tense. She can recognize the working of the Holy Spirit, bringing to pass what the prophet spoke. Amen. And it identifies her that she is that bride. Amen. She doesn't rely on some man in the States or some man over here, some man over there, or some pride. She doesn't rely on. She looks in the Bible and God confirms her. Amen. God said, you are my bride. Amen. All the world could say different, but you are my bride because my characteristic is identified in you. Amen. The identified Christ of all ages now being identified. Amen. In the bride age. And for this subject, I want to take Jesus in bride form, in the bride coming of Christ. In the bride age. But Abraham speaks of Jesus in bride form. Amen. He came in the form of the pillar of fire. Came in the form of the cloud. You see, God and Morpheus, he changes his form, but he cannot change his nature. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His nature is the same. I'm the God that changed not. He cannot change his nature, but he can change his form. Change his form from a pillar of fire to a cloud to an angel. Mighty angel with swept back wings. Amen. That one that meant more to me than the rest. Hallelujah. Then he changes form into a rainbow. Prophets are three rainbows. Changes form into a dove. Is that right? Amen. John said the Holy Ghost in the form of a dove. Changes form into a prophet, God and a man that Abraham called Elohim. A man who discerned the hearts in these things. Then he changes his form into a bright form now. Amen. Jesus in bright form. That she's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, life of his life, spirit of his spirit. She is him revealed. Amen. And then we find that he spoke also of the bride coming. Amen. The first coming, he come in the corporal body. But the second coming, he's coming in human flesh. Your flesh today. Not the corporal body, that is in the mercy seat. That we're going to meet that in the air at the last trumpet. But he's come now to be in your flesh. Amen. Amen. To live in the redeemed. Amen. Amen. To show forth his redemption in this hour. The bride coming of Christ, he calls it. And then he talks about the bride age. We're not in a Pentecostal age. We've been called out into Exodus. We've been called out of blasphemous names to come into the only provided place of worship. Amen. Where God is meeting with the believer. Amen. Amen. Only one place he meets with the believer in every age. That is under the blood. Amen. Amen. God always meets man under blood. Not theology, not interpretations, not ideas, under blood. Yeah. Amen. The blood in every age was the word. Yeah. And there's a word allotted for every age. And there was an elect in every age. Yeah. And God had to reveal to them the word for that age. And they all had to gather under that word. Yeah. Amen. Then the Holy Spirit comes and meets with them. Yeah. And manifests his word in them for that age. Excuse me. Amen. Now what's something here? Genesis 2, we read there. I want to take and show how Brother Abraham using the scripture with Adam in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God threefold mystery, Adam, Eve, and Eden. And then notice, we took Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, and show he will write the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, and my new name upon you. That's not three names, that's one name. Amen. Hey, God has three names. See, but it's three dispensations of one name. Amen. Because he come in three sons' names. Son of man, son of God, son of David. But each name was for a dispensation. There's a dispensation of son of man. There's a dispensation of son of God. There's a dispensation of son of David. A son of man is prophet. A son of God is priest. A son of David is king. See, prophet, priest, and king. Eagle, lamb, and lion. The Lord who is, the Lord who was, the Lord who is to come. Amen. And then we took First Thessalonians 4, he will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the trump. A threefold mischief is coming. Amen. So notice these things. But this seventh seal is a great threefold mystery. Amen. And we notice here a threefold purpose of redemption. Adam, Eve, and Eden. A threefold revelation of his name. Son of man, son of God, son of David. And a threefold mystery of his coming. The shout, the voice, and the trump. Now let us kind of break into the scripture quick because I don't want to keep it too long. And the message seed shall not be heir with the shock. Page 8. Now there's one seed is not heir with the shock. That the prophet preached one called seed is not heir. And he was that seed. He was formed again into the image. Amen. The corn of wheat had come back to wheat again. He had preached harvest time. He knew he was the seed. And he was showing that the seed is not going to be heir. Now to be an heir, you have to have an inheritance. Is that right? You can't be an heir without an inheritance. But because you see, there's Isaac and Ishmael. Both came out of Abraham's loins, but they come through different wombs. Amen. And though they all came out of Abraham's loins and come through different wombs, one was a perverted promise, one was rejected. Amen. See, and this message of the hour, many, you know, Branham and Abraham is the same. It's seven letters. And Abraham was a type of Branham. See, A-B-R-A-H-M, notice G-R-A-H-M is to the world. And notice here, this seed giving birth to children. Amen. But Isaac was heir of all things. He blessed Ishmael. Ishmael was made a great name, but he was rejected. It was a perverted promise because it came through the wrong womb. The seed was supposed to come to Sarah, not Hagar. And Hagar is a type of denomination, is that right? Back to Galatians 4. It tells about earthly Jerusalem. Hagar, because there they crucified him, the legalists. Amen. Under the law, couldn't recognize the Son of Man being revealed by Elijah. That's what it was. Them Jews crucified Jesus. Why? Because that was the word Elijah revealed. That was the Son of Man. They couldn't receive it. Amen. But notice something here. And this message, the seed shall not be heir with the shock. Because he identified himself, the seed is not heir with the shock. And then he preached, the seed shall not be heir with the shock. One present and one future. Because seed shall not be heir with the shock. That's the bride who is going to be seed too. She's going to come to her time too. Because the wave sheaf, the first grain, was waved for the rest of the seed in the field. Amen. Amen. And they would have to come forth the same way like he come forth too. And here he bring up something on page 8. He said, that's what the church is doing today. For Jesus is the word and he's the bridegroom. And the bride is part of the groom. Therefore, the word that is to be fulfilled this day is the same part of the word that was fulfilled in his day. And it's the same word, same experience, same life. Same word, same experience, same life. For when God separated Adam, he was both. We find out Adam was spirit to begin with. He made man in his own image, created he male and female. And then Genesis 2 and on, he created man out of the dust of the earth. Man was created in God's image. God is a spirit. So he's a spirit man. Then when he become flesh man, animal flesh on the earth, he is showing, portraying here the bride. He never taken and made another being, but he took part of Adam, the original creation, took from him a rib from his side, and took the feminine spirit out of Adam, left the masculine spirit in the air, and placed it in the feminine part. Therefore, part of his spirit, part of his body, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, word of his word, life of his life, and that's the way the bride is to Christ. Amen. Notice that. And then here is the rising of the sun. This message is the rising of the sun as he brought it here in 1965 also. He says, on page 19, when God made the first bridegroom, he made the bridegroom first. He was both man and woman in spirit, formed him in the dust of the earth to make him material. And notice, when he made Eve from Adam, he took not another piece of clay. He took the same piece of clay, same word. For Adam was a spoken word. He took from him, and he had masculine and feminine spirit. He took the feminine spirit away from Adam and placed it in Eve. So it is still part of Adam's spirit. It's Adam's flesh. It is Adam's spirit, the dynamics that quickened the mechanics of his body. So the bride must also be flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. Now, how is this mortal flesh going to become his flesh? We'll get to it in a minute. Notice how it's done. Amen. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Page 29. Here's the mystery. Before Christ or anything else was ever on earth, you see his great mystery. That he chose the bride knowing Eve would fall from disbelieving the world, knowing that she would fall. But he would choose a bride that would not fall, that would hold to the world regardless of what all the rest of the world had to say about it. Amen. They would hold to that word. They were predestinated to stand there. The adoption of children by Jesus Christ predestinated the church to that great glorious stand. He said, now you see the secret? What it is? To restore fallen Eve. And she was a prefigure of the church. Eve was a type of the church. Eve was for showing the real bride when God took her out from Adam. Amen. And he took Eve by his own flesh and blood and divided his spirit from masculine to feminine and put it in Eve. Took the rib from under his side and made Eve out of it. So God did the same thing, taking out of the side of Christ the blood and water. And Christ is the word. So when God was taking Eve out of Adam, it was for showing Calvary. Just like you're taking the bride out of Christ on the cross. Amen. And taking the word and making up his church. Eve, see? Back to himself again, redeemed by the blood that was drawn from his body. You see it now? God's great mystery being unfolded that's been hid since the foundation of the world. But prefigured it all the way down through. Now we find that he did that. Amen. Down through the ages. Page 30. He had been slowly unfolding this mystery. Can you see it now? Here in this message, Brother Abraham, when he preached Christ, the mystery of God revealed. He says, this is thus said the Lord, come back to this tape. And here on this message, he's opening up that mystery that God had in the back part of his mind that angels nobody never knew. He said, this great secret, that light never shine on, that all them reformers probed and probed and tried to get hold of, but it was sealed up in the book. But here the prophet had come. His message was to reveal the entire secret of the Bible. And now he's bringing up the revelation to the bride because his seal was open. And he's showing us how the bride was in Christ, like Eve was in Adam, and had to be taken out. And how the mystery of that bride slowly unfolded down through the ages. What happened in the prefigure now? He opened Adam's side and took part of his flesh, which was Adam, to make Eve. The bride has to be the word, for he is the word. Amen. Amen. So notice, down through the ages, he's been gradually letting this out, slowly unfolding this mystery through the prophets and through the types. How he's been unfolding it? Through the prophets and through the types. Slowly letting it out. Not giving it out all at one time, but slowly unfolding it, gradually letting it out. Amen. My, so let's continue a little bit here. So notice, Adam, when God made man, but Abraham told us how God in his great creation, he started off with botany life, and then he brought bird life, and he brought marine life, and he brought the animal life, and he built in stages and stages and stages. It's a great chain of life. But finally, the highest thing that God made was man. He never created nothing beyond man, because man reflected the one that was doing the creating. Man was in his own image and his own likeness. And God could not improve on Adam because Adam was a perfect reflection of Almighty God. Amen. The Bible said he was in the image and likeness of God, and God gave him dominion. Is that right? Power over the earth as God. Adam could speak to this mountain. Adam could walk on the waters. Adam could speak to the winds. He said, how do you know that? The prophet says much wasn't written about the first Adam. So you have to look at the second Adam to see what the first Adam was like. And the second Adam, Jesus, the Word. Because Adam came from thought to word to flesh. He was in God's thinking. Then God spoke his thoughts. Let us make man. Is that right? Then the thoughts became word. Then God took the word and put it in the flesh. He made a man from the dust of the earth and clothed that word. Is that right? So Adam was the word made flesh. He was the express image of the invisible God. He had power over the earth as God. And we find out that Jesus, when Jesus came, he came from thought to word to flesh. He was the Logos, the thought, the word, becoming flesh. all the word in the Bible, putting on human skin, amen, and walking upon the face of the earth. And Paul, looking at Jesus, called him the last Adam. Amen. He says, Christ, the last Adam, because he saw an association between Christ and Adam. Because every man between Adam to Jesus was born by sex. They bypass the word and they come from thought to flesh. Amen. You see, Adam had three things that was given unto him as an inheritance. He had eternal life, he had fellowship with God, and he had power over the earth as God. And when he fell, he lost that. But when Jesus came back, he had eternal life. He had fellowship with the Father. Amen. And he had power over the earth. He could speak to the storm. He could speak to the tree. He could walk on the water. Is that right? Showing what Adam had. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Amen. I said last night, without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. The way is seven steps. The truth is seven voices. The life is seven virtues. Amen. And Adam was Christ was the mystery to bring us back to the Father. Amen. All manner of sin and come short of that glory of God. But Jesus Christ was the glory of God. Amen. He was revealing that glory that we bypass. And we beholding the glory of the Lord as in the mirror. It's changed from glory unto glory into the same image. Because we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Bible that Christ is the image of God. Amen. We bypass the word image and we come to flesh man. Amen. But there was a representation. There was a seed word laying inside of us. That soul that was predestinated and the Holy Ghost come upon that seed and quicken it. And there's transforming power in that seed to change it. Amen. From faith unto virtue unto knowledge unto temperance. Amen. To bring you back in the statue of a perfect man. Fellowship with God. To bring you back to give you dominion over the earth again. Amen. Bring us back right where we fell from. Amen. So here's Adam. And Adam was both male and female. Because the Bible says God created them male and female. And then Genesis 5 verse 1 and 2. It says in the day that God created man. In the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. Their name was Adam. She wasn't named Eve. That is a blasphemous name. She got that name after she was seduced by the serpent. After the white horse rider conquered the church. After the Nicolaitan spirit conquered the church there. And sow a serpent seed. Amen. Inside of there, then Adam called her Eve, mother of all living. Because now she's really the mother of all living. She had two vines, a false vine and a true vine in her womb. Is that right? Cain and Abel, a serpent seed and then Adam's seed inside her womb. Twins. Amen. And the church in the beginning wasn't named Baptist and Methodist and Pentecostals. That names they get after they were seduced by the serpent. After the white horse rider deceived the church. Then they begin to get all these blasphemous names. But the family in heaven and in earth was named after the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder he says, I will write the name of my God. I will write the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that come down from heaven. Because when John saw the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven in Revelation 21, what did John say? Behold, the Lamb's wife. Hallelujah! New Jerusalem, the Lamb's wife. And the Lamb's wife have the Lamb name. Is that right? Glory. My. So it's a great mystery. And here in the book, Adam was both male and female in one body. Amen. The bride was in the bridegroom on express. Amen. And while Adam strolled throughout Eden. Amen. As an amateur God. God over the earth. His bride was inside of him. Just like Jesus, when Jesus was walking on the earth, walking in Galilee, healing the sick, walking in the water, speaking to the storm, the bride was in him. Hallelujah. Both bride and bridegroom was in one body. Amen. What was God doing? See, Adam represented Son of Man, Son of God, and Son of David. Because The second Adam is Son of Man, Son of God, and Son of David. And the second Adam is only the antitype to the first Adam. Amen. Because the first Adam, he was a prophet. You say Adam was a prophet? Sure, he was a prophet. Amen. Because the Bible says the last thing God made was man. Is that right? God created the animals. God said, let there be zebras, let there be tigers, let there be lions, let there be a chimpanzee, let there be a serpent, let there be a parakeet, let there be a dove, let there be an eagle, let there be a vulture, let there be a rainbow trout, let there be a shark, let there be a whale. God created by spoken word, marine life, botany life, bird life. Is that right? Sure. God spoke it into existence. But Adam was not there when God was creating it. Adam was in God's thinking. He wasn't expressed yet. But when God made man's own image, the last thing he made was Adam. And here Adam came forth now, a perfect reflection of God. And God showing how perfect he was, a reflection of God. How perfect he was, like God in nature. Amen. Because he was an offspring of God. He was a son of God. He had the life of God inside him. What did God do? God brought all the animals to Adam to see what he would call them. But where did it come from? Because God created them. And God created them by spoken word. But he brought them before Adam like in the prayer line. Maybe it was in the evening time. And Adam stood there in the Garden of Eden. And here come this great lion coming through. And maybe, you know, the little fox coming up there. And Adam look at that fox. And you know, the fox is a sly creature. Because Jesus called her the fox. And Adam watched that fox come up there walking. You know, this bushy tail and everything else. And he set them eagle eyes upon him. And he says, your name is Fox. That's dust of the Lord. Go your way. Amen. You live in holes. My. Then maybe you different ones come along. Maybe a wolf come along. And Adam watched that wolf there. He said, my. He says, here is a very sly fellow. Amen. He said, your name is Wolf. Amen. See, he give you a chance to eat them sheep. Amen. Glory. Send him his way. Then we find it. Maybe the chimpanzee come along. And Adam look at him. And you know, a chimpanzee full of tricks, brother. And here he's coming. Maybe some scheme thing. You could deceive that prophet. How many times you see them coming in the prayer line? And the man who write this in his prayer card, you know, you have this tuberculosis and different things. You couldn't deceive that prophet. It was God in that prophet. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. When that chimpanzee come along, Adam look at him. He said, your name is chimpanzee. Your cousin is baboon. You live in trees. Amen. You're full of tricks. You're a clown. Amen. Hallelujah. He could identify every one of them. Every one that passed through that line. He could identify them. Amen. Maybe when the bird's going to come along, look at the bird. See the dove. He said, your name is dove. You don't need to take a bath. Amen. The oil will clean you from the inside. You have no gall. Hallelujah. You're loyal to your mate. Go ahead. Hallelujah. You'll be a good messenger. You can carry messages. Amen. Maybe when he saw the eagle, he said, no, here is the king of the birds. Amen. He said, you are the king in your realm. Mike, look at every one of them. And every name, whatever he called them, that was the name thereof. Amen. Then Adam was a priest. Because Adam, before he came in flesh, remember Adam was spirit before he came in flesh, representing Christ, who was in spirit before he came flesh. Where he was, how Christ was the word before he came flesh. And the word was Melchizedek. Is that right? The theophany. Adam was in a theophany before he came flesh. And Melchizedek represented priest and king. Amen. Priest of the Most High, King of Salem, King of Righteousness. So Adam was a priest, offering spiritual sacrifices unto God. Then Adam was a king also. Because Adam Melchizedek was king. Amen. He was two kings. King of righteousness. But Adam said, that's Elohim, the spirit. King of peace. King Theophany. Melchizedek. And when he came in the flesh, it was the third fold of that mystery. King of kings. Jesus. Amen. So here, Adam, before he came in the flesh, represented Christ in the theophany. King God, King Melchizedek, priest of the Most High. Then Adam in flesh represented Son of Man, Jesus in the corporal body, the God prophet. Then Adam represented King of Kings. Amen. Then the time came, God was going to take the bride out. All that great mystery was locked up in Adam. But God was showing there's going to be an appointed time when the bride who is in the bridegroom unexpressed will come into manifestation. And he put Adam to sleep, showing Calvary. Amen. Showing that the real bride will not come into manifestation until Calvary. She will remain in the bridegroom unexpressed until that time. Amen. But when he put the second Adam to sleep, he will begin to take the bride out. So he put Adam to sleep, and he took a rib from the left side. Amen. And you know, even medical science shows there's one rib less on the left side than the right side. Amen. Because God, leaving that there's a sign back in Genesis when he took a rib out to make a bride for Adam. And notice how God did. He didn't go somewhere else. He took of the same material. Is that right? He took the same material to make the bride. Showing that when that bride begins to come forth into expression, it will not be a creed. It could not be a denomination. It could not be some man's idea or interpretation. It is going to be the Word. She'll be part of the bridegroom. Amen. Then, when he took Eve, I could see Jehovah. Amen. Building is another masterpiece. Adam was his first masterpiece. But now, he was taking part of that masterpiece to build another masterpiece. And she was going to be the matching piece to the masterpiece. And then he began to build up from the feet come up. And I can see he built the feet, no denominational feet. Feet that are going to walk in his word. Amen. Build the thighs. Come right up to the chest. Come right up to the neck. Amen. Bringing the lips inside of there. Speaking in tongues, the Pentecostal age. Putting them great prophetic eyes, the eagle age, inside of there. Putting the intelligence. Amen. Putting out those seven locks. Amen. Of long flowing hair. The glory of the church. Amen. See, and here it is. When, after she was finished, amen, after she was all completed, and Eve represented all seven ages. All seven ages of the church was in Eve from the feet right up to the head. And she was without spot and without wrinkle. And at the end of the seventh age, after the last age had come in the intelligence, amen, and the bride stood there, what did God do? He presented her to the bridegroom, a bride without spot and without wrinkle, without fault. Is that what he's going to do in this hour? The very same thing he's going to do in this hour. He's going to present this bride to the bridegroom at the end of this age. Amen. Because she is going to reflect what he had worked to achieve for seven ages. Amen. And notice something here. Adam and Eve now. Eve coming forth, she showed forth that mystery of the book of redemption. Because the book of redemption is seven church ages, the New Testament. Amen. At Calvary, when the bride was taken out of the side, we come from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He said, there's a new covenant in my blood. Is that right? Amen. And his blood was shed to bring forth the church. So here Eve was the New Testament, and Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden represented Christ and his bride in the millennium. Amen. Son of David. So notice, son of man, the prophet, son of God, the priest. Amen. Melchizedek, the theophany, son of David, the king, the millennium, the Eden. Adam and his bride, both masterpieces in the Garden of Eden, having dominion from sea to sea and from shore to shore. And peace, and the land laid down with the lamb. Amen. And Adam had a great kingdom. He's a king, so he had a kingdom. His kingdom, he had domain from sea to sea and from shore to shore. Here was the kangaroo, like Australia. Here was the lion, like Britain, amen. Here was the eagle, like America and Germany. See, it was all there. Each one of them, here was the goat, like Greece. Each one of them represented there, and Adam had dominion over it all, like how Christ will rule the nations with a rod of iron. Amen. And Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God great mystery that he had. Amen. And here it was being expressed now. It was all in God's thinking. But he was expressing it slowly. He was bringing it into manifestation to show what was in his heart. Amen. And this great mystery that began to unfold. Amen. And then you know what happened? How the bride came and fell. Let's just make a little jump here to save some time. How the bride came and fell. Because Eve was designed that she could fall. She wasn't the original creation. She was a byproduct. Amen. And it was just so that God could express himself as redeemer, as savior, as healer and these things. These attributes in God that was being manifested. And then we see that after Eve fell, God had one objective. Was to bring back what was lost. Was to bring back that mystery of Adam and his bride in the Garden of Eden. Amen. Because that was before the timeline was broken. Sin didn't come in yet. It was perfection. It had no time yet. It was an eternal church age. But it says when man fell, then the timeline was broken. The lifeline was broken. The continuity was broken. Amen. And then God was determined he would not leave it fallen like that. He's going to bring it back. Amen. And in this message, Christ, the mystery of God revealed, page 16 and 17, he says, now God's great secret mystery he had before the world began. Now back in the back part of God's mind, there was something he was trying and was going to achieve. And he had a motive in doing it in order to let himself be expressed. He had a motive in doing it that way. That's why when we come to the New Testament, we see exactly when the second Adam came, Jesus, his bride was in him, unexpressed. Now the bride could not be revealed while she was in the bridegroom. She could not be expressed while she was in the bridegroom. She had to be taken out and be revealed in another body in order to be expressed as wife, as bride, as queen. But while she was in the bridegroom, she was unexpressed. Amen. She couldn't be revealed in that body. And so the bride of Christ, when she was in Jesus, could not be revealed in the corporal body. She had to be taken out and put in another body. So Eve, in flesh, when Eve came into flesh, the feminine spirit of Adam was being revealed in another body. And Eve in flesh represented Christ in the mystical body. Adam represented Christ in the corporal body. But Eve represented Christ in the mystical body, Christ in bride form. Because she was part of the bridegroom, the female part. Amen. So when this bride that was in Christ unexpressed is taken out, it would have to be revealed in another body. Your body and my body. Because we could not be expressed in Jesus. We could not be revealed in Jesus. But we have to be taken out and put into another body in order to express the great mystery that the bride was. Amen. Now hold that in your mind. So he said, now God had a purpose and a hidden mystery. And that's what I want to speak to the church on. The hidden mystery of God that he had in his mind before the world ever began. And how that has unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we are living. Oh my. You think of it. God, before there's a star, a molecule, an atom, before there's an angel or a seraphim, God had that mystery in his mind, in the back part of God's mind. And here is a man in this 20th century, a prophet, standing there and saying, I will tell you what God had in the back part of his mind. And not only that, I will tell you how it unfolds right down to this present hour that we are living in. Amen. So no more mystery is a revelation. It's a revealed word now. Because there's one who spoke it. One who took the Bible and uncovered it to us. And here, 25 years after, it didn't change the mystery. It just unfolded a little more down. And that's what we're speaking of. We don't have to go back from eternity down to 1963. He already uncovered that here in the book. He said, I'll tell you how it unfolded right down to that present hour. July the 20th, 1963. Amen. But here, January the 8th now, amen, 1989, it doesn't fall further down. That's all it done. Unfold right down to this present hour. And we just want to see how it keeps unfolding until we come back to the millennium where the second Adam and the second Eve is in the millennium, the Garden of Eden restored. Because it's all coming back. Amen. It's all coming back because God was determined to bring it back. Amen. He said, then you will understand clearly, I believe, what is being done.
May God give you understanding.
It's a secret. He kept it secret. Nobody knew nothing about it. Even the angels didn't understand it. See? He didn't reveal it. That's the reason under our seventh mystery, when the seventh was opened, there was silence. See? 1963. He says the seventh seal is in a threefold manner. It's not to be given to the public. March the 24th. July the 28th, four months after, he comes now and he takes that seventh seal because on the seventh seal, he said the seventh seal started in Genesis. I can show it come along to the book. Here now, 4 months after, he goes to Genesis. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And say, I'll tell you the secret God had in the back part of his mind that angels nobody never knew. There was secret on that seventh seal, how it unfolded right down to this present hour. Amen. He said, Jesus, when he was on earth, they wanted to know when he would come, how he'd come. Even the Son don't know when it's going to happen. See, God has all this to himself, a secret. And that's the reason there was silence in heaven for a space of half hour. And seven thunders uttered their voices, and John was even forbidden to write it. See, the coming of the Lord. That's one thing he hasn't revealed yet. In 1963, he said it wasn't revealed yet. Of how he will come and when he will come. He says, it's a good thing he doesn't know. He has showed or revealed it in every type that's in the Bible. He has showed or revealed it in every type that's in the Bible. How last night we took right there. In Judges 7. And we see what's going on right in this hour. In Judges 7. See, when the three powers unite and devour the land, and God sent a prophet. Amen. Then the angel of the Lord followed the prophet's message. And then this morning we took Elijah in the book of Kings. Right there, what's going on right now? He attacked in the Bible. How he comes to that Gentile woman and how she's to bring forth the mystery of Christ on the cross to keep the message alive, to produce the spoken word in these things. When religion and politics is in a union. Why? Because it's every type in the Bible. And here we take another type again with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Amen. A great threefold secret. And we find Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David already inside of the air. We find Calvary inside of the air. We find the bride being revealed in another body inside of the air. We find the living book of redemption inside of the air already. Amen. Because it's in every parable and type in the Bible. Amen. So he says, that's one thing he hasn't revealed. He has showed or revealed it in every type that's in the Bible. Therefore, get this, the entire Bible is the revelation of God's mystery in Christ. Amen. The entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had. One purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible. And all the acts of the believers in the Bible has been in type. And expressing what God's great goal is. So the Bible can't be complicated. It's one goal and one purpose that God had in the back part of his mind. One goal and one purpose. All the lives and acts of believers was expressing that one purpose. And we find what is paradise lost and paradise regained. Because when we come to the end of the book of Revelation, here we see the second Adam with the second Eve in the Garden of Eden again. And the lamb will deal with the lamb again. Sure. So God would achieve what was lost in the beginning. He's going to bring it back. And the whole Bible is unfolding that mystery down to the age. Amen. So he says here, and now in this last day, he has revealed it. He has what? Revealed it. Are we saying here? And shows us, God help, we'll see it right here, what the Lord has had in his mind all along and has expressed it. Therefore, you can see the great meaning of what it's been to know this and then try to bring it to the people. Brother Brown was a prophet looking the Bible and saw those things. When them seven seals opened up, he said the Bible became a new book to him. And he looked inside and he saw it was one goal and one purpose. He saw it was a plan of redemption sealed with seven seals. He saw he had the message to unfold that mystery to the bride. Amen. He saw that that message was going to bring a rapture in faith to change his body and take us back to Eden. Amen. Then how come people can say this is not revealed and that one over here? And it's confused. See? So notice. So God, one goal and one purpose in his mind was to bring it back. What fell? And after Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, God had, he says,
one goal or one purpose. Now listen to this, they paid 24-25. He says, first, to express himself completely, God in Christ. Second, to have the preeminence by this in his church, which is his body, and he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. And thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightful position. So what is God's purpose? It's a threefold purpose. To have preeminence in Christ, and that is to bring back the second Adam. To have preeminence in the church, and that is to bring back the second Eve. And to restore the kingdom, the Eden, and bring back the millennium. Amen. And notice, for the first 4,000 years, after 4,000 years, from Genesis until Jesus come, here came Jesus, and he was all the Word made flesh. And when he came, at the end of the Old Testament, we find that he took the law, the Psalms, the prophets, and all things, and showed us speaking of him. He says, search the scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life, but they testify of me. What it was that he had, that he could look in that word. And even though you read about Jonah, you have seen himself. He said, I'm greater than Jonah is here. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man will be in the earth and will come forth. He looked at Solomon with a gift of discernment that could tell the queen of the south all the secrets of her heart. And he said, greater than Solomon is here. Amen. Amen. He looked at Moses. God raised a prophet like unto me, Moses says. And he knew he was a greater than Moses, calling a greater exodus than Moses called. Amen. Amen. Bringing them not into a natural land, but into a spiritual promise of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. So notice, he could look in the Bible. He could see Joseph. How Joseph was sold for 30 pieces of silver. How Joseph was hit of his brethren. How Joseph was rejected. Amen. By his own brothers. How Joseph, in prison, had a Gentile, the butler was saved and the baker was lost. How Joseph was sent to the right hand of Pharaoh's throne. How Joseph was a Gentile bride. He could look in the Bible and see it was reflecting him. It was a type speaking of him. Because Adam was a great, was like a prophet. And Adam was reflecting the great God prophet who was going to come, the second Adam. And every prophet in the Bible, from Adam down to Jesus, was showing forth part of the mystery. Part was revealing Moses, how he called the Exodus. Part was revealing Solomon with the discernment. Part was revealed over in Abraham, how he went from Dan to Beersheba to deliver his fallen brothers. How Jesus left from heaven and come down to hell to deliver us. Amen. It was being revealed in Joseph, how he rejected his brethren. Being revealed in Jonah, how he came up to the belly of the whale. And in every stage of Jesus' life, every stage of his ministry, he could look in them prophets and see it spoke of him. Amen. Then every priest spoke of him. Aaron, the high priest, who could go into the with blood into the inner veil and sprinkle the mercy seat, was speaking of the great high priest. Aaron, the human Thummim, amen, upon him, interceding for the people. Amen. Eleazar, Samuel, different priests who followed Aaron, were showing they were all speaking of that great priest. Every king of Judah in the Bible, like David and Solomon and Hezekiah and all them great kings of Judah, were speaking of the great God King, the Lion of Judah. And the mystery was so great, it couldn't be revealed in no one person and no one age. So each prophet unfold part of the mystery. Each priest unfold part of the mystery of the God priest. Each king unfold part of the mystery of the God King. Give the Joshua Commission. She received the message in that hour of judgment. Amen. And she got a family, a household under the token. Amen. Speaking of the Gentile bride at the end of the age, with faith and works, who's going to have the token on display? And because Brother Branham had the Joshua Commission, he opened up the Jordan, the seven seals, and bring the church back into another Ephesians at the end of the journey. Amen. Amen. Look at Ruth. Ruth came in the harvest time. Amen. When Naomi went back in the homeland, when Israel went back in the homeland, harvest time is when the seed come back to seed.
when the Son of Man has been revealed again, when Israel is back in the homeland, amen, then Ruth, a Gentile, came in and went through three stages of redemption, showing that Ruth was speaking about a people, a Gentile bride in the last days when Israel go back into the homeland. Amen. When the Son of Man has been revealed again. And she's going to receive full redemption and come into oneness with Boaz. When she had a revelation that Boaz was Lord of the harvest, bridegroom of the Gentile bride, kinsman redeemer. Amen. Look at Esther. Esther was the type of the bride. Amen. She was the queen in the kingdom who saved her people in the time of persecution. Because the book of Esther is between Nehemiah and Job. And Ezra and Nehemiah in the Old Testament is one book. And Ezra and Nehemiah speaks of the Jews going back to the homeland, coming out of captivity, going back to the homeland to rebuild the temple and to wait for the Messiah. And Job saw the greatest vision of all. Job speaks of the resurrection. So between the Jews going back in the homeland and the resurrection, the book of Esther. Amen. A great secret. How on the seventh day, the seven voices of the king thundered. Amen. And how Vashti, the queen, rejected that message, the Pentecostals. But then how he went and called a bride in the evening time. Amen. He called a bride who was a virgin. Amen. Esther. And she came into the kingdom after Vashti was rejected. And Mordecai, which means little man, but it packed a great message. Amen. The one who trained Esther and show her how Haman was planning a persecution to destroy her people. But how Esther could save her people in the time of persecution. Amen. A very time of this hour that we're living in, when the World Council of Churches is making a move to come and close down and destroy this bride. Amen. But our prophet stood here with the word and uncovered the enemy's scheme. Amen. But that bride in this hour going to have a very ministry. Amen. That's going to deliver all that belongs to her. Amen. Putting the Jews back in the homeland and the resurrection. This thing is going to take place. Look at Mary. Mary, a type of the bride also, who received the angel message. Amen. When an angel come down from heaven, is that right? Mighty angel thundered a message that revealed the name of Messiah. A message that told Mary she will bring forth the word made flesh, the super sign. And Gabriel means man sent from God. Amen. And here is a man sent from God, an angel, the seventh angel, came with a message in this hour. Showing that he can only speak of this last day bride who is not going to know no man. Amen! Not know no man. But the Holy Ghost will go overshadow her. Amen. And she will bring forth the word made flesh. So none of those brides in the ages could identify themselves in that bride. Jesus never identified himself in none of the bride types. So there must be a people come at the end of the New Testament to take every bride type that spoke of the one bride. Amen. The same way that Jesus took every prophet, every priest, and every king. There must be a real bride. Each age produced part of the mystery. There were seven ages. And each age produced part of the mystery because no age never lived long enough until the full thing came, was unveiled. Amen. But at the end of the seventh age, what happened? Yeah, the book has been opened. And the sevenfold plan of redemption is being revealed. And the bride is being called out and set in order for rapture in faith. Amen. The Holy Spirit is revealing to her her position in the world. Taking the amnesia away. She's knowing that she was known. Amen. She's recognizing her position in the world. The same way Jesus recognized his position in the world. Amen. It's bringing her to a perfect faith. The same way he came and preached, a greater than Jonah is here, a greater than Solomon is here. There is going to be a bride who will come and preach, a greater than Sarah is here, a greater than Esther is here, a greater than Ruth is here, a greater than Mary is here. Amen! A greater than Rahab is here, with a greater token than what Rahab had. Amen! Hallelujah! There will be a bride who will prove she's the perfect matching piece to every promise, everything spoken to the bride. Her life will dovetail with the Bible to prove that she's the real bride that the Bible is speaking of. It won't be no make-believe. It will not be impersonated. It will not be no church members. It will not be no bunch of arguments and these things. But it will be a real bride that knows her position in the world. Hallelujah. Because all them mysteries
of the bride was being slowly unfolded. The same way all the mysteries of the kingdom in the Eden and the time of Solomon, when it was the golden age, all these things were speaking of the millennium, of Ahasuerus and Esther in the kingdom, speaking of the millennium, like Adam, Eve, and Eden, like Boaz and Ruth in Elimelech's inheritance, was speaking of Christ and the bride in the millennium. Amen. Like Noah and his family in the new world, after the science civilization was destroyed, when they came back in the new age, was speaking of the millennium. Amen. So it is. You see, when that bride comes, see, the New Testament is another piece before for the old and new, oldest husband and wife. They're taking the old to foreshow the new. Christ come, the masterpiece to fulfill that. Now the bride will fulfill everything that's in the New Testament. Another masterpiece in the making. It's taking him 4,000 years to make this masterpiece. And now he's been, for nearly 2,000 years, making another masterpiece, a bride. It can only be a perfect masterpiece. Amen? So I'm finished. Just putting this last quote here. It's the Rising of the Sun, page 17. And it says, yeah, if he being the groom, the bride has to come forth because it's part of him. And it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all of Revelations, any others that spoke of the bride. When the bride comes forth, she will be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all of the revelations that speaks of the bride. Because Jesus never identified himself in them bride types. Those bride types held the mystery of the feminine spirit that was unexpressed in Jesus. But at the cross, God put the second Adam to sleep and took the feminine spirit out, that it could be revealed in another body. And each age produced part of the mystery. But now in this last age, all seven mysteries become one mystery. Christ. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Amen. Christ, the second Eve, is the mystery of God being revealed in the mystical body. Just like Christ, the second Adam, was the mystery of God being revealed in the corporal body. Now Christ, the second Eve, because he is both bridegroom and bride. He's both Old Testament and New Testament. He was the principal team of the Old Testament. She is the principal team of the New Testament. Both husband and wife coming together in this hour. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Faith of his faith. Virtue of his virtue. Knowledge of his knowledge. She will have to match everything spoken of the bride in order to receive the promise. We all can make a claim, but our claims must be vindicated. He said, if it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride. Because she's flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, life of his life, power of his power. She is him. As a man and a woman are one, taken from his side, she had taken his spirit, the feminine spirit from him, the flesh from his side, made both mechanics and dynamics, the spirit and the flesh of him, and put it together and made mechanics and dynamics. Amen. And he says here, he goes on to speak, well, I leave that part out and we can study it in another time. Page 17, 18 is Rising the Sun. But just to bring that point here to show you how she is the same material as he is. Amen. Amen. And she must match those things. Because Jesus couldn't come and say, I'm Messiah. He had to take what the prophet says. And that's why he took the law and the Psalms and the prophets and all things and prove it spoke of him. And now she comes at the end of the New Testament. And in 1963 to 65, we saw one like Adam again. Under the shout, revealing the Son of Man, the first fall of his name. Notice the first 4,000 years, second Adam, when he came and revealed, it was Son of Man. Second 2,000 years was Son of God. 7,000 years is Son of David. Each name was tied to a dispensation. He comes in three sons' names to redeem back his threefold purpose. And is manifested in the threefold mystery of his coming. Because under the first fold, the shout from 1963 to 65, we saw one like Adam again, who speak to his tongue, go back where you come from. One who had power to speak to the fish, Jesus Christ, to the back of life. Who could speak and create a scroll and bring it into existence. One that God said, won't you walk with me? He had eternal life. He had fellowship with God. And he had power over the earth as God. Amen. Amen. And then 1964, he preached Shalom. The breaking of a new day. The morning star. A thousand years of Shalom. A thousand years of peace coming. Amen. The coming of that great millennial day, as our brother was singing tonight. Hallelujah.
Amen. Great millennial day.
Well, then if we see the Adam part and the revealed the Eden part is coming, from 1964 to 1989, there must be an Eve part. A people who's going to show his bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, faith of his faith, virgin of his virgin, who's going to be the perfect matching piece, who can take the scripture and show a greater than Sarah is here, greater than Rebecca is here, greater than Esther is here, greater than Rahab is here, greater than Mary is here, to prove that she's the one the Bible spoke of. And her life and ministry is revealed and hidden in all the shadows of time. And now that she looks in the world, she's not seen through a glass darkly no more, but she's seen face to face. Because Revelation 10:1-7 was the revealing of the Son of Man from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Notice that I took my scripture tonight in Genesis and Revelation. And the bride, the body always followed the head. What followed Adam? Eve. What followed Jesus? The Alpha bride. What is going to follow the Son of Man in the last days? The Omega bride. The body must follow the head. And if the head has been comforted and waved before us, there must be a body comfort to match that head. And between Adam and Eve, the serpent came in there and deceived the first bride. Between Jesus and the Alpha bride, the Nicolaitans, the white horse rider, came in there. And we are warned in the last days, false anointed ones are going to try to deceive this bride too. But this bride is predestined to stand.
Hallelujah!
She will not fall. She will not defile his kids. She will prove that she's not like Eve. She will go back to Eden. Let's all stand to our feet. Oh my. The identified Christ of all ages, now being identified in bright form, in the bride coming, in the bright age. Have you seen yourself in the world? Are you seeing the mystery of yourself? That after the one man scripture, there was a mystery of the bride, and the one man scripture come at the end of the seventh age, and the New Testament was for seven ages, and we see the headship wave before us, then the body must follow that now. There must be a bride comfort to match what that prophet manifested, to prove she's part of the same thing. Oh man, may we catch the vision. May we look in there, may we see it. Let's listen to this song. There's never been a day like this day to me.
Amen.
Amen. There's never been a light that shines so bright.
Amen.
Let us worship him and close. Thank you for his word. I believe the Holy Spirit has spoken to our hearts tonight.
Amen.
I believe we can look in the scripture and see. There's a mystery of the bride in the Bible. Surely what has been happening from 1966 to 1989. May we be born into the rhythm of the great symphony. May we get under the inspiration of the word and see God is showing and revealing to us what is happening in this hour. May we can take our place.
Sin against thee. I will not disbelieve thee. Amen. But we will believe in this hour. Watch him bring the past. Everything he has spoken concerning us. Let us all pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for your quickening power that is here amongst us tonight. Quickening our minds to your promise. Quickening our lives to this age. Taking us up in this great mystery, O God, of the seventh seal. Placing us into the coming of Jesus Christ, where we can see his great plan of redemption unfolding right down into our very own lives, Lord. Making us part of this great plan of redemption. Lord, we can recognize our position this hour. How we thank you, Father, for the liberty of the Holy Spirit and the revelation of the word that have come forth tonight to inspire the faith in our hearts. And let us see the thoughts that you are thinking about us, Lord. Father, may inspire us, O God. May take a deep root down in our hearts. May cause us, O God, to see ourselves the way you see us, Lord. And bring us into harmony with you. That we can understand the great divine mystery of God behind our predestined lives, Lord. And we can have faith in what you have spoken concerning us. I pray you bless your children tonight, dear God. I pray that the Holy Spirit will take the bread of life. Feed the hungry hearts. Oh God, may the inside teacher teach them further in these truths, Lord. Open up to them, bring it back to their remembrance. As they would sit and meditate, oh God, in the quiet times, may the Holy Spirit draw nigh. And Lord, may you quicken it and make it so real unto them. Inspire faith sufficient for this hour. A great rapturing faith, Lord. Oh God, catch them away. I pray, dear God, that your Holy Spirit, we can just speak our hearts and lead and direct us in the paths of service. All that we need to know and understand this hour. Lord, I pray you help us, Lord. And you undertake for us everything. We commit ourselves into your hands. Take the people safely to their homes. Watch over them and protect them as they travel on the way. May the great divine presence of the living God. Go with them, yes, Father. And may you watch between us and bring us back tomorrow when the evening shadows fall. Look, we come in their presence with expectation, with anticipation, in prayer, waiting and believing, Lord, to receive more from your hand. Oh, break down the bread of life unto us, Lord. Oh, let it be a good point of the Holy Spirit, Lord, amongst us. Lord, may you grant it, Father.
Thank you.
We pray and we ask these things as we commit everyone to your hands, thanking you for divine blessing, your presence that is here, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. We pray and we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Bless you. We are dismissed, but I hope to make this with the service. Amen. God bless you. You pray. May God just come to speak to our hearts. Tomorrow as we come back, if you can't believe it, amen, you will go receive it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm sure you enjoyed the meeting tonight.
Amen.
I gave it to you.
Amen.
I preach your message many times, but tonight it was just a little different.
Amen.
Just like the Holy Spirit just wanted to put that down in your heart.
Amen. Amen.
Let you know what part of the world you are.
Amen.
You are part of this great mystery. This is the bride's hour.
Amen.
Amen. It's taking us into a great rapture seat. May we see them, may we walk in it. Amen. May we take a real stand for his word this hour. God bless you, bless you. Yes, yes.
Maybe we can arrange to go out one of those nights. In the day, I have to work. So maybe the 12th, we can arrange and I can show you around where they sell a lot of these. And then I can bargain, keep the price low for you. Places that I bring, they don't usually jack it up too high, so it'll be quite alright. I'll bring and show you around. We arrange on the 12th.
Yeah.